And a warm hello to you from the warm heart of a down home gal, somewhere in the warm heart of America. This is Prepare for Freedom, show number 19, coming to you live each Tuesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Time on WQ4D Radio, the Inspiring Friends Network. You can find us online at www.prepareforfreedom.com and on Facebook at www.facebook.com/prepareforfreedom. My name is Sharon, and I'm your host for today's show. Let me now introduce you to my co-host and official Two Cents producer, Billy Bob. Say hello, Billy Bob.
Well, hello, America. Well, how are you all doing? I know I got a little excited. We have been off the air for a couple of weeks here, and I've just got a little excited over here. But
okay, you can put your ears back on, everybody. We're ready to go.
Sorry about that. It's a great day. And Billy Bob's here. Hello.
Billy Bob is here, and he's a rare to go for another show. And you will be hearing more from Billy Bob shortly, as he loves to put in his 2 cents worth. Listen to Billy Bob long enough and keep adding up those 2 cents, and you will soon be rich. Now, on to the topic of the day. And we have got a good one today and that we are excited about. It's called voluntary simplicity.
Voluntary simplicity? What's that like, making something idiot-proof?
What do you mean by that, Billy Bob?
Well, if you try making something idiot-proof, the universe will just invent better idiots.
Well, actually, Billy Bob, I'm pretty sure that voluntary simplicity has something to do with making your life a whole lot simpler so that you don't have to hang out with the idiots anymore.
Wow. Hey, that means I can have my own show after today?
Yeah, if you live long enough.
Well, I hope I do. I think I do a good job.
Well, we have a great show for you today and some great guests who are going to talk to you and talk with us about voluntary simplicity and explain how it can lead us to true personal freedom, a state where we can not only survive, but thrive. Let me just share with you a little bit about our guests today. They're going to be here for the full hour, and they're just some people you're going to really love to meet. It's Ivy and Lou. That's I-V-E-E and Lou, L-O-U. And they are a couple who have started a very interesting journey, a path to freedom that they believe will work for them and for anyone else who chooses to go down this road. And let me just share with you a little bit about what they have to say about their journey. They say that for each one of us, this path had begun long before we actually met each other. For each, it has meant many bumps and dead ends along the way. All these things, however, have made us who we are today and have led us to this point today where our paths have crossed. And that also means now our paths have crossed as far as Billy Bob and myself and Ivy and Lou, too. This is an exciting moment. We have recognized each other and recognized and realized we are walking in the same direction. That moment when we came upon a clearing on a full moon night and saw each other, remembered each other, and decided it was time to walk together. Ivy and Lou are two people who are embarking on a project to live off the land, off the grid, in an environment of their own making. The financial and political systems of the world are on the brink of collapse, and we both feel the time has come to become prepared for when they eventually do fail for good. Initially, we counted only on ourselves for this project. However, soon after we launched our website and began getting feedback, we realized there are a lot of people out there truly ready to drop civilization, quote-unquote, and begin a new way of life today. Ivy and Lou wish to return to a much simpler way of living, but they're not going to throw technology out the door entirely. They say they are not New Age hippies, they're not Luddites, they're not hermits, and they simply do not believe what they've been traditionally told is the road to happiness and well-being. Now, you know it's interesting, and I agree with what they're saying here as we go on a little further here. They say that humans have thrived living differently, more simply, for millennia. And I agree. But we have forgotten our instinctive ways. We have learned to silence them thanks to generations of technological dependency and social conditioning. We have become imbalanced. The only thing we seek to do is return some balance to our lives and live more in accordance with our natural design. This is nothing new. We are not inventing anything. We simply feel the time has come for us to do it, and we are documenting it along the entire way so that people can see the steps we take in changing the world around us, and hopefully some will be encouraged to do the same. Well, Ivy and Lou, we want to welcome you to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Sharon. Hi, Billy Bob. Thank you for having us on today.
Hi, guys.
And how many miles apart are you, do you think, Ivy and Lou?
About 3,000 miles apart. Actually, my hometown of Denver, Colorado, is the exact middle point between the two of us.
Wow.
Ironically.
We're actually in two different countries on this call. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That's correct. Yes, I'm in Mexico City, and Ivy is in upstate Pennsylvania.
Okay, before we get into our questions, please tell us how you met.
Actually, one day I was on one of my typical daily rants of just what I was feeling about the world around me, and started speaking about some writings I was doing on my own, about writing about new way of living, new civilization, new way of embracing the world around us. I've recently realized that, you know, I became a big part of the corporate world, and once I left that, I found myself again and realized that that wasn't me. And I had this feeling inside me that I needed something new. So I started writing about it, and the day that I wrote about it, I posted it in a group called Awakening of One on Facebook, which has actually been a pretty good group for what I've gone through on my path. And Lou sent me a private message wanting to know about what my views were on these civilizations and what I thought. And we didn't get a chance to talk right away, but later that night we were able to talk on MSN chat, and it kind of went from there.
Well, that kind of, what did you say, long distance?
Yes, quite long distance. Well, we started chatting and, talking about that subject, you know, alternative ways of living and what our perspective was on it and how we came to look for that. And we realized that we had both been actually been preparing for that for a while in each one of our lives. I was looking to go live off and create some type of community in the Baja Desert, and I just actually spent 4 months. I just got back from there about a month ago. And Ivy herself was also preparing to go live off the land on her own. In, I believe, the mountains of Colorado, right?
That's correct.
What do you mean by, explain to our live audience what it means live off the grid and how you have kind of took your first step toward that?
Well, you know, our idea of it is living simple, building our own home with our own hands. You know, construction today is you spend all these, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars for homes that fall apart, have mold, and have more problems that you just have to sink more money into. We both feel if we build our own home, we know what's wrong with it. We know what needs to be fixed with it. Another thing is growing our own food. You know, food, I remember back in the 90s, food made a great change in taste when they started doing scientifically, genetically altered seeds. And the dynamic of our food has changed. And those nutrients and stuff that we once had, you can tell, aren't there. And, you know, I want to get back to enjoying the things that I eat. And I want to make my own spices and my own cleaning supplies. And I want things to actually have some meaning. I think everything's just too easy. You know, we take the world that we have for granted, and we're kind of losing ourselves due to that.
Well, I would certainly agree with you, and I find it interesting that you get people from all kinds of different backgrounds that they may not understand why it is they feel the way they do, but there is a certain discontent that a lot of people are feeling. You call it unease, discontent, uncertainty. And there are people like you've noticed that are kind of coming out of the woodwork and discovering that, you know, maybe it's not such a bad idea to have a garden after all. Or maybe I would like to just get out in the fresh air and do something, some real physical work again. I'm missing something in my life. You know, kids nowadays are brought up, many of them, to believe that the food comes from the grocery store. Who needs farmers? Have you encountered that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, there is a huge disconnect. But as you said, there's also a large portion of people that they're feeling that they're ready, you know, that they're ready to, that, you know, that obviously the systems are collapsing. We were seeing it all around us. You know, you don't have to believe in some futuristic prophecy of an apocalypse. I mean, don't worry about that. Just look around at the news and see that the systems are collapsing. And, you know, and the world that we've built is deeply flawed. But it's only a world that's couple of thousand years old. We've lived that, like we said, we lived a much simpler way for thousands of years. And there's a lot of people that are growing more and more aware of this and realizing that it's not that difficult, that it's not such a leap to really forsake a lot of things that we've grown accustomed to, you know, to believe that we need in order to be happy and really go live a simpler life. We've gotten a lot of good feedback from people. And some, you know, some people say, well, you know, I would love to go, but my wife's not exactly thrilled about the idea, or we're not convinced, or maybe in a couple of years. But definitely a lot of people are feeling the need to deeply alter their lifestyle, you know, and we've gotten good feedback in that regard.
Well, that's good, because I would think that you probably are going to have some people you talk to, they're just going to roll their eyes. Surely you've encountered those too.
You know, a year ago, if you would have said that to me, yes, I would completely 100% agree with you. But even within my own family members, for how strange this whole situation is to them, they're like, you're the one that would do this. They all see that with inside them and their worlds around them that something is happening, you know, and whether they can embrace it or not for themselves, you know, they're realizing that, you know, something's not right, you know, something is going on. And I haven't been getting as much eye rolling as I thought I would.
Well, that's good. And I just have to agree. Go ahead, Lou, were you going to say something?
Well, no, I was going to add that also, you know, what we foresee, you know, as we try to establish this community is, you know, as people start to be more curious about coming on board and changing their way of life. I mean, what we see is maybe we invite them down for a couple of weeks to you know, to come get a really solid idea of what's involved, of how what changes are going to be involved in their way of life, and, you know, the work that's going to be involved, because there's a lot of work that's going to be, you know, need to be done down there to set up a community and to have it running the way it needs to run, you know, to run efficiently. And we want to have it filled with people that are going to contribute with, you know, same outlook, the same positive attitude that we're trying to have.
How are you planning to set this community up and where you want to be located at?
Well, we're looking at two locations right now. We have two solid locations that we're looking at between Baja, Mexico, and Belize. And it's located Orange Walk, I believe, is the area. Basically, both areas are relatively virgin land. I know that Belize is completely virgin land. In Baja, there is already electricity and a water supply there with a well where we would be able to at least have those things immediately, which we actually see as an advantage until we're able to get our own water supply working and work on a more self-sustaining renewable energy source. In Belize, we would have to start from scratch and basically would probably be living, you know, very in a tent or, you know, some sort of smaller accommodations until we at least got a first dwelling built. There is a natural spring that runs through the land. So we know that we would be able to have, you know, an adequate water supply, and it would just be establishing ourselves from there.
So then you'd be able to grow your own garden and raise some animals like cows, goats, whatever.
Absolutely. And another thing we see about being in the jungle is there's already a very good food supply there. You know, there's a natural selection of things that we can already use to thrive. In Baja, we would actually have to take more accommodations with us because we wouldn't be quite as prepared to live off the land. So it would have to be more of
a desert.
Yeah. We'd have to ease into the situation a little bit.
Yes, understand. So are you going to be using modern technology at all out there? And if so, where and how will you be using it to your advantage?
Well, like we mentioned, we do want to use the advantages of technology. We don't want to completely go back to the 9th century. We want to be connected to the internet. At first, it's going to be obviously through a traditional ISP. Eventually, we want to find alternative ways to connect in case that those networks fail. We do want to use the latest. We want to use solar energy if possible, if our environment allows it, wind energy, all kinds of technology that we can, use to harness and produce our own energy supply there.
So actually what you're saying is you'd rather not let the government say what you can grow, what you can't grow. You don't want to rely on that. In other words, you're telling our listeners you want to more be independent of things of what you want to do, like grow your own stuff and all. Free.
Oh, absolutely. Completely independent.
Yeah.
I mean, for the fundamental things like our water and energy supply, we want to be completely independent, and thus, obviously, our food supply. Eventually, we want to be able to produce all our food there. And at a later stage, we want to produce our own fuel as well, not be dependent on gasoline. If we can produce our own biodiesel or other types of fuels that we can use for our machinery, because we are going to use this technology. We do need to have a vehicle to move around, a truck to move stuff around. We need to have a backup power plant, and that's going to run on diesel and later on biodiesel. So our intention is to be completely independent. Absolutely, completely independent from all the other systems. The toughest one right now that I foresee is internet communication, global communication. But it's not something that is impossible, and it's something that we need to look into because that those networks might eventually fail as well, and we need to have alternatives for that as well.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. I just wanted to ask about how many people are you anticipating that it would require to really make this work for you?
Well, as of right now, we know that we're the first two on board, and right now we're going to make it, sustainable for ourselves. However, we do have two other friends that are also considering, walking with us as well and starting in the beginning stages. Once they've come to their what they need for themselves, of course, to ensure this is what they want to do, we may have four of us. And the one way I've thought about it is we need to make things so it's expandable. If we take into account in the beginning that there may be two of us now, but there could be eight of us in a year. So let's make whatever we create for ourselves to stay, to easily to build onto. You have to think of it like how they originally thought of the first cities and go with it from there.
Sound like you really got your great idea. You got your heads on straight with it, and you definitely want to be free from a lot of things and all, which is great. That's what we're trying to do too. And we don't want nobody to dictate to us of how to live. And it sounds like you really are in the right direction with that.
Why Belize, though? I'm just curious.
Well, Belize came up because these two friends that Ivy was talking about. They approached us shortly after we launched our website, and they said that they had a few acres in Belize that they didn't know what to do with, and they were thinking about maybe doing some kind of alternative thing like this. And when we launched and they saw our project, it resonated with them, and they thought that it would be a really good idea to maybe do it there. The option in Baja also came along because a friend of mine has some land in there. See, the thing is that the two options that we're considering right now, both Belize and Baja, have the great advantage that we don't need to invest immediately in buying any land. It would be there for us to use right now, and that's a big advantage. So that's why those are the two locations that we're considering. And also they are both pretty, like Ivy said, they're pretty virgin in condition and state right now. And they're they're close enough to civilization where if we need supplies, we're not, you know, stranded. But they're remote enough that we're going to, you know, have the ability to create the environment that we wish to live in.
So you're going to have, wherever you go, you're going to have to learn how to start all over and adapt to wherever you're going to be at, like you're starting all over, right?
That's absolutely correct. And I think that's actually the fun part about it. It kind of gives a new flavor to life. I have to say for myself that the life of being a drone, eat, sleep, work, go to bed, do the same cycle, kind of gets really old. And it's very draining to one's spirit. I think I'd rather work harder and break a sweat and build something that every day when I wake up, I enjoy where I'm at, and I love the life that I've created for myself. And I think that sounds more appealing than going back and sitting in a cubicle.
Oh, I agree with that. One question that comes to my mind about this is, though, what about all of us here in the United States that are pretty well stuck here? Are we going to have a problem finding the kind of land that you're talking about in the United States?
You know, I've kind of seen this. I'm sorry, I kind of stumbled over my words, but I saw this out of a question from one of my friends. And something that Lou and I do see on a broader vision is several of these communities starting. If we can inspire someone else out there that maybe has 20 acres of land and they're like, hey, this is my idea too. I'm all about it. Let's start another community here. You know, and that's another community that we already can connect with and communicate with. We can exchange ideas of what's worked and what hasn't worked. These communities can happen anywhere. And you know, I hate to be the one to kind of say it in this context because of the world we live in right now, but you know what? It is our world, and there's more of us than them, and we have the rights to live our life the way we deserve to live.
And I agree. Yes. Definitely.
No. Yeah, me too.
We all do.
Yeah, the reason I brought this question up is because I know for myself I'm probably not going to be traveling outside the country, but I definitely share your dream about wanting to live a simpler life and live it with people that share my vision and just get out and live somewhere where I can have a lot more control over what I eat and what I do and have the joy of breaking out in a sweat doing some real work instead of in a cubicle or being chained to a computer all day. And so I think there are a lot of people that have this idea. I was just wondering if you had heard of the idea of what's called transition communities, where you can in some of your smaller towns, there seems to be a movement to actually start turning those communities into more self-sufficient communities. Have you heard about this particular movement or direction?
Actually, I don't think either of us have.
No, I hadn't.
Okay,
actually like some more information on that.
Yeah,
if you Google transition communities on, you know, on the Internet, you can find out a lot more. And you just never know where you might find some extra support or people who share your vision. I was quite surprised to find in the community where I live here that there are at least some people with some vision that have some political power in our community, and they've already started doing some things like moving to build a biofuel plant and just some small things where they can to start making our community more self-sufficient. Now, we're a long ways from getting there, but what I was thinking was if not all of us can necessarily completely pick up and move from where we're at, but if we can start to gather like-minded people in our own communities, that might help some of us in America here, especially more to be able to collectively, I call it stop feeding the beast and start feeding ourselves, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Sharon, that's beautiful. I'm sorry, but it's absolutely beautiful. That's what I would love to see. You know, and that's one of the reasons why we wanted to document it.
Right.
You know, showing everybody, look, you can do this. We're not anything special. We're just simple people that want to have a good life. That's it.
Well, that's a good attitude.
Well, we've got we're going to take a break here in just a couple minutes. When we come back, we want to talk about the zombie apocalypse and get that one out in the open. Have you discussed the news on it?
Yeah, I got a question with that, so you all better be ready.
Right, so we're gonna leave things hanging on the zombie apocalypse and come back. Second half of Prepare for Freedom. We hope you enjoyed the first half. We hope to make it better for you in the second half, because we're going to start off with a great subject. Take it away, Billy Bob.
All right. I appreciate that. I was just eating my raisins over here, and I was having a good time eating them until I got disturbed. We'd come back on the show, but that's okay. The squirrels were looking for me, too. They're looking for a nut like me. Blue and Ivy, are you there?
Yes, we are.
Okay. But I lost everybody, and I thought, here we go again. What is this I've been hearing about the zombie apocalypse, and what it really is, that something to really worry about, and does it affect your plans?
actually, the zombie apocalypse is kind of more of a joke between Lou and I, and it comes from the side of us that likes to look in that deeper side of life. And there's many people out there that use the analogy of, you know, I mean, think about watching the movie 28 Days Later.
Right. That would
a virus outbreak, you know,
that
kind of thing. And the world we're living in today, that same relation is used as an analogy. You know, they say that, you know, zombies are more like the people that are still sleeping and don't realize what's going on. And, you know, the people that, you know, are the ones that are fighting their way out are the ones that are, you know, awake and trying to figure out how to get to their place of sanctuary, basically, where they can live and set up and start their lives over. And if you think about it, we are kind of doing that same thing in principle. And you can use that same analogy a little bit to what we're doing. And just for the type of people we are, you know, we've been actually plotting a zombie movie with the same concept as just something we're doing fun between the two of us.
Oh, that's very interesting and everything. And I thought I was nuts.
So are there some real zombies out there?
Yeah, you're still looking at one.
There are definitely some real zombies out there. And the problem is they don't know they're zombies, like Ivy said.
Yeah.
And if in the future, you know, the real zombies come, you know, well, we'll be better prepared to take care of them out there than in the big city, I think.
Well, the big city,
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. The big cities and everything, a lot of them, like you said, don't realize what's really going around them because, you know, like Sharon said, most of the kids that you talk to, a lot of young kids and all, they think everything comes out of the grocery store. They don't know exactly where it comes from, how it grows, or nothing like that.
It's really sad how disconnected we've become. I live in a city of 20 million people in the metro area. I mean, it's huge. And when you get a blackout or the water supply goes out in any part of the city, I mean, it's a big deal. You know, and we are, like you said, we are completely disconnected. I mean, I can go down to the street corner, grab a piece of paper from out of my pocket, and exchange it for some food without any thought or energy given into, you know, the fact that an animal died so it could continue living. And we're completely disconnected. And we've, you know, we've been reinforcing that for generations, for 20 generations. We believe that part of the thing, part of the reason that makes, you know, that creates this mass neurosis in our species is the fact that we know somewhere that we've lost something and we can't act to it. And I think that's just part of what we're trying to recover here, you know, get back some of our true nature and how we were truly designed, because we live completely disconnected from a lot of things that's supposed to be natural to us, and they're not more.
You know, you bring up an interesting point. This isn't one of the questions we were going to ask you, but I just was thinking as you were talking here. You know, I think that the major media and what we read and hear on the news, et cetera, I almost wonder sometimes if they really want us to believe that we are this violent dog-eat-dog, man-eat-man species, competitive, that cannot get along with his or her fellow man, as if to keep the division stirred up between us so we do fight, because somebody profits from it when we fight.
Oh, absolutely, and they keep it's fear. They keep it. Think about it. It's the same idea. He fell from the sky and had fire in his eyes. I mean, think about what was used in medieval times to strike fear into people to be compliant. The same techniques are used today. You know, and people say, oh, well, we can't live in a society like that because people will go out and kill each other. No, if we make ourselves become self-responsible of our own selves and responsible for what's happening in our community and with the people around us, look at how disconnected we are. In many cities, you can live and your neighbor's house will burn down and not a single person will go see how they are. I live in a small town where your house burns down and everybody's at your house, you know,
right,
rallying to help you. You know, and a lot of that flavor has been lost out of life. It's a dog-eat-dog world because that's what life is teaching us. It's consume, consume, consume. On whatever manner it is, just consume.
Well, I agree with you there. I got something, a question, and basically this, it's going to take a little bit of a twist, but you kind of got my attention, too. Do you think in a lot of ways we have lost family values along the lines of wanting to help out people and doing things that we're supposed to be doing and trying to help our family out first and helping our families and friends?
Yes. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yes.
No, that's fine. You're okay.
We really have. Actually, Lou and I had this conversation. It was explaining to him, growing up in Colorado, I had the opportunity to be around a lot of Hispanic families. And I always admired, they sat down and had dinner together, and they had conversations together, and they did things together. And my family didn't do that. You know, I was raised in America. You know, my parents were raised in America. And we sat in front of the TV, and we're lucky if we said two words to each other. I mean, sometimes we made efforts, but really as a family, we never had that, and you kind of lose, you know, who you are, and you don't have that sense of responsibility to take care of your own anymore because they're like, well, who took care of me? So it's kind of like we're feeding in to the monster on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we're totally feeding the monster, and a great example is, for example, how we treat our old people, you know,
there
in modern
that's
society.
That's where I was going
to go with. Mm-hmm. Pet peeve, go ahead.
You know,
we got you covered.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we're on the same page here. I mean, we just lock them all. You know, we toss them away because they're a burden, because they're not productive anymore. And we go see them when we have to, you know. And when back in the day and how things used to be, you know, those were the people that were revered and respected. And they're the ones that took the decisions because they had all the experience. And we just completely lost that link to our past. And when you lose that link to honoring your roots and your elders and where you came from, you're just devastating the following generations, I think, you know.
Well, and we're
because
seeing
obviously
the results
not
of that, sure.
That
so true.
We are definitely saying that.
You know, and that's one of the things that we've lost, one of the big things that we've lost, I think, and it's very sad. And it's not just in the States. I see it here in Mexico, too, and in all modern society. We just toss them away, put them in the closet, put them in an old home where, you know, I don't have to deal with it. And it's really sad.
I can remember, I'm old enough, I'm not going to say how old I am, I don't want to get myself in trouble here, but I can remember still being taught the idea that our elders were to be treated with respect. They had wisdom, they had stories to tell, things to share. And I listened to some of those stories, and I'm glad I did, because I learned some things that now I don't know who I'd go to get that information. I have a story about my mom, for example. She would not eat chicken. absolutely refused to eat chicken. She would cook it for us kids, but she wouldn't eat it. And I asked her why. And she said because when she was a little girl, she was the one, she was an only child, she was the one that was always had to take the chickens after they were butchered and pluck the feathers out. And that is a tough job, and it can kind of gross you out with the smell when you first throw those chickens in the boiling water. And she never forgot that smell and never forgot that work. And it just, it stuck with her. And, you know, we have lost that. We go to the store and buy chicken now. Do you think the average person cares where that chicken came from or how it was treated or?
Oh, no.
No, they don't.
They're mass producing animals now faster than anything else with the feed we got. That's just like what Ivory said earlier in the show, the first half about, you know, look at all the stuff that they're feeding these animals. We're losing a lot of our nutrients and everything. So, you know,
absolutely.
So it's better to go raise your own animal. You know what you're getting. You know what you're feeding them. You know what they're getting. And also, you know, you can live more healthier that way. Sometimes I don't even think the government wants us to be healthy. They talk about it, but I don't think so.
We go to the doctor, and then we have to go to the pharmaceutical company. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't need to get going. I'm sorry.
That's another show.
That's a whole other show.
We can have fun talking about that one, too, for sure.
In the population. Yeah. I was going to say, that just to close that off, that's basically the idea. You know, we live in a society where we're just putting stuff mindlessly into our face, and we just want to get back to the pleasure of knowing that we're growing our own food and that, you know, we're dependent on just the land that's around us, basically. I just want to say that.
Okay. Appreciate that, Lou, because that leads into the question that I was going to ask you. Actually, I wanted to ask both of you, if you could just maybe take turns on this one. I'd like to know, and I think our listeners would like to know, what experiences both of you have with living off the land and how you plan to do it where you will be living.
Actually, I have a lot of experience. As I said online, I grew up very, very, very poor. We had to garden and grow our own fruits and vegetables. Well, not really fruits because we were in Colorado, but vegetables. And, you know, my parents would have to save up money to go buy, you know, a half a cow from the butcher and put that in the freezer. Or my dad had to go hunting, or we went fishing. And around here, my mom and I actually, we fix everything in the house by ourselves. We chop wood. We split wood. We run the furnace. We run the fire. We do everything a man would do. Even when it comes to simple mechanics, I can work on cars. I have a lot of technical ability that I feel like life has been preparing me for this, you know, and I feel that, like, when I go work outside and chop wood, I'm like, I can't wait till I'm doing this for, like, a bigger purpose and something that means more than I'm just tired and I have to go out because I'm mindless after my day of work and I don't feel like doing it, you know, going out and just cutting it to stay warm. I want it to be something that I'm actually, it's good again. It feels good to do it. There's a reason behind it. You enjoy it.
I'm a city boy, but I learned quick and I'm not afraid of good hard work. I'm not entirely alien to the thing. I've never had to live off the land previously, but I mean, like I said, I know that I'm going to learn a lot of things, and I'm not afraid of all the hard work, you know, that's coming up ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to be teaching him a lot of this stuff.
It sounds like
yeah.
It.
Well, he did one thing.
Yeah.
How to pick up the phone and make an order and have it delivered.
I think
to go.
Yeah, to go. Right. I'll have two cords of wood to go, please.
Exactly. I'll be on my way in just a few minutes to pick those up on my back.
Right. Would you like fries with that?
Yeah.
We have become so fast food conditioned. It's just unreal.
Oh, yeah. Everything is single serve and everything is right now. Give me, give me, give me. I have to have instant gratification for my consumption.
Yeah. That is very true. And just thinking about what Sharon was saying, you know, I remember when I was growing up that we did live on a little bit of a farm and all. And, yeah, I knew what everything was about. And when I moved down south, I got more things of doing on the farming, like working the tobacco with eggs and all like that, and chicken houses, picking up eggs and all like that. So I got to learn all like that, too. So I understand where you're all coming from with that. And it seemed like I said, now you're going to have to teach Lou from city life to country life.
Mm-hmm.
And good luck to you.
Exactly. And that's also part of the idea that, you know, that we want to show people. You know, you don't have to be somebody that was born and has been living this way all their life. You know, you can take yourself off the grid, even if city person that has been in an urban environment all their life. You know, it's just a matter of asking yourself the question: how much do I need to be happy, and how much am I willing to give up in order to really be happy?
Well, then, what would you think would be your biggest problem with setting up this community? Either one of you could answer that.
To be perfectly honest, the one thing in the world we wish we didn't have to deal with, money.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
I got a question for that.
Yeah, financing right now is our big hurdle.
Well, money been around since they found it.
Not the funny money we have now, has it?
No. But I understand what you're saying, and all, and I'm hoping the listeners understand that, too. And it seemed like Lou had a talk about getting into debt. It sounded like everybody rely on the plastic.
Oh, and we do live in a society where people do that. I'm actually one person that doesn't. I own one card to Target, and that's actually a debit card that comes right out of my account. So I put nothing on credit because I don't feel like feeding that monster. If I don't have the money for it, I don't need it. And I will find another way to get it. You know, you have to find other ways to survive. And even with this venture, you know, I've proposed, you know, and Lou and I have talked about it, we are going to look into people that maybe want to sponsor us with businesses that are making renewable energy sources and maybe have things that we can use and give them sponsorship. You know, they can be in our, we can advertise for them in our documentaries that we're using their products and this is how they've worked and this is what they've done, and we can give them a little spot on our website in exchange because we don't have the money to pay for it. There's a lot of things that I actually see of being able to do it, but we actually have to get some people to listen to what we're saying, you know, to get to that point.
Very good, and we hope that this show will be a means of enabling you to reach out to some more people, and there will be other opportunities, I'm sure, and I certainly hope we can have you back at a later time here, maybe not too much later, because we'd like to kind of have you back and at least give us a progress report and maybe do more as we go along here.
Oh, we'd love to do that. We'd love to come back and check in and let all your listeners know, and you guys obviously, how we're coming along and how we're doing it. And what stage we're in, you know, in all aspects of the project, because I think that we share many, many common interests, and it would interest all of us, I think, definitely.
That's fantastic. But, you know, it sounds like, you know, the way you all talking, it seemed like money getting out of the picture, and you think eventually we can go back to what Ivy was talking about when she said, you know, helping out and trading things and doing things with like that. Do you think people can start maybe doing that and helping each other instead of trying to cut each other's throats?
I think so. I absolutely think so. I mean, it doesn't take much to give just a little something you have extra. And it's something you don't have to go out and buy, or it's something you don't have to go out and spend money to do. I mean, maybe, you know, it's as simple as you got old coats, you know, homeless people live in your city. Go take them a coat. You don't have to take it and donate it. Go take them a coat and see them be gracious for you caring about them. My ex-husband never liked my cooking a lot of the times. He would complain. And I would make really good meals, I thought. And I would prepare them, and I would put them in little to-go containers. And I'd make sure when I went to fast food restaurants that I grabbed extra of the utensils that were wrapped in plastic. And I would make up to-go little things. And I would take them down, and I would just give them to the homeless guys around Civic Center Park in Denver. Those guys were so happy just to have a warm meal in their stomach. You know how good that made me feel? It didn't take anything but just a little bit of effort.
And, you know, you can't put a price on that feeling.
No, you can't. It can't be bought.
Yeah.
Well, that's one thing. You know, people need to start working together a little more. And I can truly say, for me and my stepmom, we have had our differences at one time, but it works together when we can understand what's really going on around us and try to help each other. And we're trying to help out other community people and like you said, helping the needy and stuff like that. People just, like you said, don't care and everything, but it seems like you really, your hearts are in the right place and all. And that sounds great. That makes me feel great that we got somebody on here that we're talking about that really cares about stuff like that.
Yeah, and cares about our future. You know, it's not fun to talk about doom and gloom and what the future might hold. You know, there are a lot of people that are getting really, really scared as they see what's happening at the world financial markets. And it really would be nice if we could somehow really get people to understand that the solution may be simpler than they think. It may be right beneath their feet. It's right in the soil of their backyard, perhaps. Any step that you take to get reconnected to your roots, to your own roots, both physically, mentally, spiritually, however you do it, getting back to that gentle nature that we do have, allowing that to work, it's got to make a difference. We don't have.
Oh, exactly. And and if on the practical side, you're also making yourself more independent.
Right.
Then all the better.
Okay, I think we got one more question here. I think Billy Bob's got that one. One more question we want to end with.
Yeah, I got
okay.
One more. Good question. And all. If there was just one piece of wisdom that you would like to, for our listeners today, to remember something about what we have talked about on the show, especially what you have gave your advice and talked about, what would it really be?
For me, I would have to say just start using some real compassion. Start really caring what's going on around you, because if you care, you can change it. Staying indifferent is not going to make it any different.
How about you, Lou?
Yeah, I like that. And I will also add to keep in mind that it's not really the circumstances that are going to define you, but it's how you react to them, you know, what you decide to do about them. It's not the same thing to be aware than it is to be active. It's not the same thing to say what time did you pick up than it is to say what time did you get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to awake, yes, but we need to take action as well, because otherwise we just become bitter and angry because the world is not the way we would like it to be. That's the thing I would add.
I definitely would agree with that statement.
And I would also like to add to, you know, thank both of you very much and the audience for having us on today. We really enjoyed chatting with you and having the chance to get people to know our project. And hopefully, you know, they'll visit our website. They'll get to know more in-depth information about it. And they'll follow the story along, because it's a developing story right now. It's in its infancy. Like we said, you know, we've only met 6 weeks ago. It's crazy almost. the story's in its infancy. It's just getting started. And we're going to narrate it all along the way. And if people want to come along for the ride, we'd love to have them. You know, and if they want to come physically, join us in the tribe, you know, visit us for a couple of weeks and get a vibe for it, we would love that too.
That's great. Now, please let us know very clearly, repeat it if you need to, let us know where people can get a hold of you, leave us your contact information so they can get back to you after the show, would you please?
Sure. Our website is, well, the thing right now as we have it is Ivy and Lou at the End of the World. The website is ivee-lou.madrazo.org. We're also on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ivy.lou. And we are also on Twitter. It's at ivy_lou. And they can find us thing, then they can get in touch with us, and they can, you know, get all more information.
Well, I'm hoping that you, when you get started with your project and all, that you will let us know how you have progress and how you're going, doing, and everything, and we would like to come back on the show and tell all our listeners how you were doing a follow-up on it.
Absolutely. We would love to do that. And I'd also like to extend, you know, my thanks and gratitude as well. You know, I appreciate you guys also helping us with our opportunities. The support that you guys are helping us with is just phenomenal. And, you know, I hope we can also do the same for you guys as well.
Well, I believe everything happens for a reason, that we got connected for a reason. I certainly don't want to get disconnected. If I may just ask one final
Definitely.
Question, what does the future hold, like, say, in the next 3 to 4 weeks for Ivy and Liv?
The next 3 to 4 weeks, we're definitely going to know where we're going. We're going to start getting the final of our preparations. We've got a bunch of spreadsheets on equipment and stuff we know that we're going to need on hand right away. And getting our travel booked, like Lou had said to you guys offline earlier, that he's coming here in January to come see me and visit with my family. And then we're planning on taking a trip from there, heading to Colorado and seeing the rest of my family and my very close friends there. And then we're going from there to Mexico City to spend some time with his family. So because of us meeting, you know, on 11/11 online and things happening the way that they are and us going to move out in the middle of nowhere together, we feel that some FaceTime with our families is appropriate before we take off into the wilderness.
Well, that's very good.
Very good idea, yes.
We're also going to be working on, in the next few weeks, on updating, obviously, some content on our website. We will upload a few more videos, get a little more content and background information on what it is we want to do. And we also need to flesh out some presentations that we're working on for fundraising for you know, bigger organizations and such.
All right. Well, we just want to thank you so much, and we certainly wish you all success. And one more time, just tell people where they can find you, just one more time.
It's ivy-lu.madrazo, madrazo.org.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. And we, like I said, we just wish you all the best. Any last words, Billy Bob?
Yes, they're very good words, very wisdom words here. I wish you all the best of luck. May you all stay together. May you all be blessed. And hopefully in the near future we can all do this again. And we really enjoyed this show with you. And all I could say is one thing. Send me up some bananas from down there because I need some.
Bananas from Belize, please.
Send y'all the bananas you want, Billy Bob.
And send up a coconut because I might be a little nuts around here.
Yeah,
hey, we really enjoyed it, and the best of luck to you. Keep it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to the both of you. Thank you.
Okay, we're about to move on away, and we thank you again.